6 seconds left. Hallett gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shai Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shai Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio on a game day, game number 66 tonight, as VGK heads to Columbus to play the Blue Jackets. Golden Knights coming in at 42-18-5, 89 points on the ledger against the Columbus Blue Jackets, 33-28-5, 71 points. The first trip to Columbus and Nationwide Arena for the Blue Jackets. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish down here at Born and Raised in Henderson, having a good time. Going to be here for the full show, pregame show, intermission reports, postgame as well. If you're in the neighborhood, swing on by, enjoy the game, have some food, have some drink, and say hello to Frank Harnish, who'll be here all night.
Yeah, well, we'll be here a good portion of the night for sure with the Golden Knights game coming up, pregame at 3:30, puck drop a little after 4, and then, of course, we'll have the postgame show here as well, so we will be here at kind of down here and getting ready for all the action at Born and Raised, one of our favorite locations in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern. So come on down here for that. And, of course, the big question of the day, will there be a video tribute to William Karlsson tonight? Check out Vegas Golden Knights Twitter and see him answer it.
Yeah, that's good old William Karlsson headed back to his old stomping ground, as is Jonathan Marchessault, a couple Blue Jacket connections. Riley Smith played just down the road in Oxford at Miami of Ohio, so a homecoming for a number of fellas.
Yeah, and Columbus, a team with real high aspirations going into this season. They haven't exactly been living up to them. They're still fighting for a playoff spot. I still think that they could do some damage. I do think they have some talent on this team. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it has not been the season that they've dreamed of so far. But if you get into the playoffs and you make things happen there, anything bad that happened before is washed away. If you don't get in, well, then you have a long off season to think about it.
Columbus just returning from a three-game West Coast road trip. They played all three of the California teams, dropping the first two in Southern California to the Kings and the Ducks, but coming back to beat the San Jose Sharks to end their road trip before flying back to Columbus. They're going to get ready to start a four-game home swing. We're going to have George Richards, beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch. He is going to be joining us in the second segment today. We also have our MJ Christensen giveaway. Our phones are back up and a working, so we'll be able to do that in just a little bit. But there is plenty of news to get to before we dive into tonight's game action, Frank. And we will start in Dallas, where Ben Bishop has been deemed out both tonight and Friday.
Yeah, he was actually injured in a, it sounds like it was kind of a fluky thing. I was watching the replay of it. His own teammate, Dan Hamhuis, basically fell on him. He was jostling in the crease a little bit. He got hit by one of the opposing players. He kind of fell backward awkwardly. It looked like Bishop wasn't ready for it. He fell on top of Bishop. He did stay in for a little while after that, but then Kari Lehtinen came in after that, and he didn't come back. And they're saying that they know that for sure that he's out the next two games, and I think they're playing it by ear from them. But if Bishop is out for any length of time, that's a huge blow to the Dallas Stars.
And we certainly saw what happened when he came out opening night there in Dallas, and the Vegas Golden Knights were able to get the equalizer against Kari Lehtinen.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, Kari Lehtinen, if you look at the all-time wins list, he's actually got a lot of victories in that, but he's not that good a goalie, certainly not in the prime of his career right now. And the goaltending problem is one of the things that has been Dallas's problem the last few seasons. This year it looked like they finally made that more solid, and it seems like they shored up the problems getting Bishop in there. But the one thing that Bishop has been known for throughout his career, and one of the reasons why Tampa Bay wasn't exactly, crying a lot of tears when he left, was he does get injured.
He does get injured a lot, and we've seen how important that number one goaltender is and the difference between playing with him and playing without him. And you look no further than the Calgary Flames and Mike Smith. Flames have been fantastic when Mike Smith is in. They've really struggled when he's out. And good news for the Flames, Mike Smith, who's been injured, is traveling with the team, but they haven't quite made a decision or determination about when he's going to return to net.
Yeah, and it almost seems like there's a little bit of a communication lapse there or whatever, because although that sounds like it is good news, according to their coaching staff and Glenn Gulletson, he basically said, look, he didn't know that Smith was going to be making this trip. He said, don't read more into this than is available, because there is no timetable for him basically to come back yet. He didn't think he was going to even be on this trip, but now he's there. They certainly do need him, because you mentioned how they struggle. David Ritchie is 1-4-1 in the six games he's played with an .864 save percentage. John Gillies is 2-2-1, so a little bit better, but still not very good. Bottom line, they've lost 8 of their last 11 games, and for a team that is fighting to try to get into the playoffs, they probably need Mike Smith back really bad.
And it wasn't that long ago at the start of the road trip when right after the break that they had, the bye week, we went up to Calgary and saw them, and they were sitting in second place and had pretty high aspirations, give away that lead to the Golden Knights late in that game, and it's all been all downhill for the Flames since then.
Yeah, they have not played very well whatsoever, and this is a team that did have high aspirations. They thought they were going to go into the playoffs there, and they are now in fifth in the Pacific, 3 points behind the LA Kings for fourth. Of course, like we mentioned, trying to fight for that playoff spot, but they have a few teams they have to jump over right now, and with the way they've been playing of late, that is no easy task whatsoever, so we'll see what happens. 3-5-2 in their last 10.
More news in the Pacific. A scary moment in Vancouver last night as Brock Besser left Rogers Arena on a stretcher. He was sent to the hospital after a collision in the third period in a 4-3 overtime win against the Islanders. He got hit up against the open door, sustained a back injury, and they say he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, so pretty much his season's done.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you go to throw a hit, you become the victim of the hit. He was going to check Cal Clutterbuck along the boards. He hit Clutterbuck, but Clutterbuck's a kind of big guy. He had the right body positioning, and Besser's the one that actually went down from the hit. Now, normally, you just kind of slide along the boards, no big problem. But because they were making a line change for Vancouver, he kind of hit that area where the door is open, and you could see immediately where he hit his back. It's not a pretty thing to watch. If you want to watch it, go ahead. But just advising you, it looks kind of painful. My back started hurting as soon as I watched it. At that point, you had a feeling that there might be something wrong. They sent him to the hospital just to make sure that everything was all right, and found out apparently that everything isn't all right. 4 to 6 weeks, that's a huge blow. It's not a huge blow for Vancouver because they're not a very good team, and it's not like they're fighting for the playoff spots, but it's a huge blow possibly for Besser, who's one of the two favorites to win the Rookie of the Year. This might make really sure that Mr. Barzal wins it in New York.
Yeah, it could really could, missing those end of those games. We had talked about Charlie McAvoy, another rookie that's made his impression this year, and he was going to be out indefinitely, and now they've put a timetable on it. He's going to miss at least 4 weeks with a sprained MCL. The Boston Bruins announced today, so that could put him back potentially for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and again, the thing about it is, yeah, you want McAvoy in there, and he is a big part of the success of the Boston Bruins, and they've been playing absolutely incredible right now. But McAvoy is also a very young guy. You don't want to get him in there before he's ready or something like that. And with a knee injury, knees are pretty important to hockey players, as we all know, and an MCL, that is nothing to mess around with. It's a bad injury at a bad time, but I guess they're going to have to be the next man up there. I don't think they'll put him back in until he's 100% ready. Well, maybe 95.
All right, and the Bruins fighting for seeding, but they should at least have the confidence of knowing that they're a playoff team.
Yeah, and again, I mean, McAvoy's a good piece, but he's not their most important piece. If Tuukka Rask went down, that would be absolutely devastating, or Bergeron, or even Marchand, although I don't like the way he plays on the ice. He's a very skilled hockey player out there. They have some pretty good players. He's one of them. It'll be a big loss, but a loss that they can probably overcome and get into the playoffs. It might change the way where they end up in the playoffs, though, as far as positioning goes.
All right, and hopefully Tuukka Rask will be back sooner than later. He's been out for a couple of games as well. Hopefully he'll be hitting the practice facility soon if you're a Boston Bruins fan. Another guy that's been missing time was part of that trade deadline bonanza that we saw right there before all the rosters had to be set, and that's Ryan McDonagh, who went from the Rangers to the Lightning, and he has yet to play a game for Tampa.
Yeah, McDonough stated that he was 5 to 7 days away from returning to the lineup, but after speaking to the media on Tuesday, head coach John Cooper noted that McDonough won't be back until at least this weekend, according to Joe Smith of the Tampa Bay Times. McDonough hasn't played a game since February the 7th. He continues to deal with an upper body injury. The club has gone 6-0-1 in the last seven games without him, so he'll be a nice piece when he's ready to go. But again, with all the weapons they have in Tampa, there's no reason whatsoever to rush this guy in there.
The other New York team, the Islanders, had a tough go of it in Vancouver. We had talked about the Brock Besser injury that had happened, but there was a lot went on in that game. Brandon Leipzig had himself a pretty good go of it in that contest. The Islanders were up with a two-goal lead midway through the second period. They ended up losing that in overtime, and head coach Doug Weight got a little angry in the post-game press conference. He said, "It's bleeping getting old. 15 shots in the first, and we just want to screw around, walking it down the pipe, backdoor BS. We should have won the game. We should have had a 3-0 lead. But we just stopped shooting. Played fine. They didn't have much. Same story. They get a chance, goes in, couple of bonehead plays." So putting his team on blast. There's no tanking in hockey. He was upset, even though his team's going nowhere.
Yeah, and again, for people that think there is tanking in hockey, it's difficult to do, because to tank, you have to tell players, don't put your best effort out there. But, yeah, management and everybody else are going to recognize that you still belong in this team and the league. By the way, for teams that tank, the coach can still get fired or something like that. So, yeah, he certainly wants to win games. Yeah, you don't want to see this kind of stuff. Hockey is heart, effort, talent. There's a lot of things into it. But he's upset. We saw Gerard Gallant as upset as we saw him after the Ottawa game recently here. As close to he comes to putting a team on blast, he did in that game, where he basically said one line played, nobody else did. They responded with a win in New Jersey. I'm curious to see what happens with this team after this, because when you're telling everybody that it's blank and getting old and you're just tired of it, the effort and everything else, the one thing that I kind of question is where he said played fine. Well, obviously, you didn't think they played very fine. So, you know, you didn't think they gave the effort to do anything out there. So, and again, it's like sometimes shots on goal, 15 shots, yeah, it sounds like a lot. But if you're not doing the things getting dirty and they're just easy shots and you're just playing catch with the goalie, then it's not enough. He doesn't like the effort. We'll see if his team responds.
Yeah, I think that tanking discussion gets overblown by folks in the media, because if there is any kind of tanking, it comes from the front office in a case where you decide to not bring back a guy like Jack Eichel that may be able to give you one or two games at the end of the season, and you just decide to go ahead and sit him out because of his injury, as opposed to the players that are in that lineup, because every single one of those guys is fighting for their career on a nightly basis.
Yeah, if there's tanking involved, I agree with you. Tanking is from the coaching staff or the front office being told to keep guys out of lineups or something like that. The guys on the ice are given effort. Maybe a superstar, maybe you could talk him into it, but even they want their stats out there. Now, Alex Ovechkin, not that Washington, I'm just going to use him as an example. You think Alex Ovechkin doesn't try to score a goal every single time, every single shift he goes out there? These guys want to perform. They want their stats. They want their bonuses. They want everything else as well. And by the way, if you go out there and tank and you don't give the 100% effort, that's when you end up on the injured list. These guys go out and they give the effort. Maybe sometimes it's half-hearted because of mental things going on, or because they are losing, or they're in the doldrums or something like that. But they don't intentionally take a game and go, yeah, I think I'll go out there and I'll stink tonight.
Yeah. Well, a guy that doesn't put up with that and fights for every inch is Toronto Maple Leafs coach Mike Babcock. And, Frank, you said that he sort of had a play that he disagreed with in his game last night.
Yeah, it was interesting too, because I turn on the Toronto and Buffalo game, and I see our old buddy Shane Knighty down there. He was doing the NBC Sports game. Of course, we'll see him tonight on the TV here as well, as making the trip down to Columbus. But he's talking about there was a goalie interference call, and Shane Knighty and the play-by-play guy, they're all like, well, yeah, it's going to be goalie interference. They're going to overturn this. The goal's not going to be good. So they go to the review, and you can see Fredrickson comes out, and he gets interfered with, and Buffalo puts it in the net, and then they come back and they go, yeah, after review, it's a good goal. Call on the ice stands. And you hear a little bit of silence. And Knighty's kind of like, well, maybe they said he was out of the crease, but boy, that sure looked like it there. You know what, I'm just going to flip a coin from this point on when it comes to goalie interferences, and he kind of chuckled about it. Well, Mike Babcock did not chuckle about it. He was outraged. He was ticked off by the call. And I agree with him on this one. But what he was most ticked out about, what the referee told him on the ice, is not what the NHL told him. They told him different stories about the same play.
This is Mike Babcock post-game last night.
Well, what I don't like is what the report that came out from the league is different than what they told me. They told me he was interfered with outside the paint, which is not true. And so that tonight is goalie interference any way you look at it. That tonight, the goal's off. The coaches in the league, like, no one knows what's going on. So we better get it solved. Just saying, okay, just the statement and saying, okay, we're going to leave it the way it is. No chance. Let's get it fixed. Let's get it fixed before the playoffs so we all know the rules.
And that's a sentiment that we have heard not just from Mike Babcock right there, but around the league. A lot of confusion when it comes to the officials, the players, front office, media, head coaches about what is goalie interference.
Now, I will say this. If you watch the replay, he was mostly out of the crease, but one leg was still in the crease. I mean, he was pretty far out. So when he says they said that he was still in the crease, no way. Well, there is a way. It depends on what you define. Is completely out of the crease, out of the crease? If your foot's in the crease, are you still in the crease? Is it 75% of your body? I don't know exactly what they're looking on there. He was partially in the crease, but he was mostly out of it because he went out aggressively to make a save. But his foot was clearly hit from behind. It threw him off balance, and he wasn't able to get his stick back and make the save. He was definitely interfered with. I think he does make that save without the interference, and the guy that scored the goal is the one that clipped him in the back of the leg and spun him around. So I really did think they were going to overturn it and say no goal. They didn't. The crowd in Buffalo was happy. Mike Babcock, not so much.
Toronto, of course, chasing points. They need all the ones they can get, and sees a couple of them slip away against Buffalo last night. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish here at Born and Raised in Henderson, getting ready for the Blue Jackets and the Golden Knights tonight. 3:30 for the pregame show, 4 o'clock for a puck drop. And Mike Babcock, not the only head coach that's upset. This time, Todd McClellan upset up in Edmonton, but he's upset about fans giving the business to Connor McDavid. There's a video of Connor McDavid being heckled when he was out in a restaurant with his family, and Todd McClellan said, "I haven't seen it, but I would be the last person that Connor McDavid would be the last person that I would heckle if I was a fan. He gives the community everything he has, and I'm not just talking about on-ice contributions." He said, "I often sit down in the lunchroom and I ask him, 'What are you guys doing today?' And about every second day, Connor says, 'I'm going to a hospital. I've got to go see these kids. I've got to go do that.' So the individuals that choose to heckle him need to look in the mirror."
And you know what? I like that he did that. First off, I like that he stuck up for his player. Now, some people would say, well, he's the superstar player, so he has to stick up for him. Well, first off, he doesn't have to. But secondly, he's right. Every interview I've ever seen with this guy, everything I've ever heard about this guy or seen where he's doing, he's constantly going to a kid's hospital or an event or something like that around the community. He seems like the type of exact player that George McPhee and Bill Foley said were going to be Golden Knights types players. He's ingratiated in the community. He seems to be a great hockey player. He's probably a kind of boring guy to hang around, quite honestly, because his whole life is hockey and helping others. He doesn't seem like somebody going out and 21 years old and he's out there partying and getting wild and all that kind of stuff every night. He seems like a really down-to-earth, nice guy. When the worst thing that somebody can say about you is that, oh, you spend all your time helping people out and that. I mean, I agree with him. Why would you heckle him unless you're just jealous because you ain't him?
Yeah, exactly. Connor McDavid, everything that you would want on a hockey player on or off the ice. NHL, Frank, also announced their 2018 Global Series dates. Remember that this past year that the Senators and the Avalanche played a couple of games in Stockholm. They're going to do it again, but this time the Edmonton Oilers and the New Jersey Devils will play their 2018-2019 season opening games in Gothenburg, Sweden, and the Florida Panthers and the Winnipeg Jets will play two games in Helsinki, Finland on November 1st and 2nd, and the Devils and Oilers are each going to complete their training camp in Europe, the Devils in Switzerland, the Oilers in Germany. And that has got to make the Devils happy. Nico Hischier getting to play in front of his home crowd at the end of camp in Leon Draisaitl in Germany.
Yeah, and Draisaitl is really interesting because he says, "I think it will receive a lot of attention. It's a pretty it's a pretty sport fanatic city. They love their soccer and they love their sports teams. It's pretty special for me personally to get to play against the team that – his father actually coaches for. So he'll be playing the team that his father is a coach of. You think his dad might know a way to stop Leon?
Yeah, I think he might. They are going to play Edmonton an exhibition game against Kölner, and Switzerland, the Devils will play against SC Bern. So they're just going to play against one of the local pro teams there before they hook up with each other in Finland.
Yeah, Patrick Laine also excited about that because he's a native of Finland, and Alexander Barkov is also going to be getting to see some of his old his country mates as well. So a lot of players in this tournament are excited about going back and seeing some of these places where they've played before as youngsters and that in different leagues.
Yeah, so should be pretty good. Big fan of the Global Series, and it's amazing the difference and attitude that the NHL players have about going back to play in Europe than the NFL players who have to go and play a game in London.
Yeah, I mean, these guys love the outdoor game that they do. Mm-hmm. They love going back to their small towns in the off season and that kind of stuff. The bus trip that the Golden Knights did beforehand, they were happy to go up to Montana or some small town in Canada or whatever. It's like hockey players are down-to-earth real guys. They kind of don't forget where their roots are and everything because for the most part, most of them probably had a pretty good upbringing, skating around, playing hockey all the time, and then making it to the NHL and getting a chance to play for the Stanley Cup. They're truly living their dream. And they're not spoiled little brats or something like that that think that they're better than everybody else out there. Most of them that we've talked to and that we've met are thankful and appreciative of what they have. What a concept.
Yeah, the global series of the NHL certainly much more of a success than NHL to London. Well, remember, when the Golden Knights win, you win too. We're going to make up for yesterday. So we're going to give away our $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers right now. Give us a call at 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. We got Colin Miller on the pregame show today, so let's go with number six. Caller number six, you get that $50 gift card. Call us now. When we come back, we're going to have George Richards from the Columbus Dispatch break down this Blue Jacket game tonight right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Leipzig steals, gets around the goaltender, scores! What a roller coaster night for Brandon Leipzig. Two goals, one assist, his first three-point game. And he ends it in overtime at 2:47 as the Canucks beat the Islanders 4-3.
And you forgot to mention his three penalties.
Well, that was the night of threes. I didn't want it to be in the call.
Brandon Leipzig with the slashing penalty. The Islanders tied it up. He makes amends.
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish down at Born and Raised in Henderson. Going to get ready for the pregame show at 3:30. Puck drop at 4 o'clock as the Golden Knights take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Frank, good to see Brandon Leipzig having a little bit of success up there in Vancouver.
Yeah, I thought we'd play a little tribute to him there, getting that game-winning goal. And probably lucky for him and the organization that he did, because if you get the slashing penalty that allows the other team to tie it up, then you get the game winner in overtime, and it cushions the blow a little bit there. But Brendan Leipzig, an interesting game. Couple goals and assists, his first three-point game of the season. Also three penalties in the contest, including the one that allowed them to tie it up. But when all said and done, he gets the game-winning goal in OT. Didn't get a lot of game-winning goals here for Vegas, but I wish the young man nothing but success.
Yeah, good on you, Brendan Leipzig. It is time now, though, for our Vegas Golden Knights game day preview, brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. And we're grateful to have a little bit of help with today's preview from George Richards. He's the beat writer for the Columbus Blue Jackets, works for the Columbus Dispatch, spent a little time down at the Miami Herald with the Florida Panthers as well. Welcome to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. George, good to have you.
Hey, greetings from fabulous Columbus. How you doing today?
We're doing excellent. Well, last time we spoke with you, you were living the life down in Miami, and now you've made the move up to Columbus. How are you enjoying your new digs?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's 56 degrees and sunny, so it's like, it's never like that in Florida. So
yeah, never, at least.
This is about as close to Florida as we can get, so it's a nice day today in Columbus. It's been good, you know, covering the Blue Jackets. A team that's been struggling here a little bit the last couple months. But, we'll see what happens.
You got to trade in the Cuban sandwich for the bratwurst. You know, Columbus is my hometown, so I'm pretty excited to see the game tonight. But we heard that Bobrovsky's not going to start tonight. Is there any injury or illness that we don't know about, or is this just a planned rest day?
No, it's definitely not a rest day. I guess they hope he's resting. According to Coach Tortorella, Sergei Bobrovsky's got some kind of illness, and he won't play tonight. They did an emergency recall from their AHL team up the road in Cleveland. So the backup goes in. Eunice Colpasalo gets the call for the Blue Jackets tonight. So that's a break for the Golden Knights, because Bob was terrific the other night in San Jose, and you know, has been for much of the season.
Yeah, and Corposalo's been struggling of late in the last few games that he has started, giving up four or more goals in four of the last five games. His last win against Dallas January 18th, where he only gave up one goal. But what does he do? Because, you know, I know sometimes a backup goalie can come in and they can play very well. Vegas saw that when they played Nashville and Saros came in and shut him down. But Corposalo, it seems like he's been struggling lately.
Yeah, and I think earlier in the year, Corpy was, you know, playing extremely well despite his limited opportunity. You don't get to play very much when you back up Bob, and you know, he seemed to have really grasped that and how to work through that. And you know, when they would have a couple days off, he would go to Cleveland and play in a game there. So he would get some game action, even though it doesn't appear on his NHL statistic. He was still getting some game work with the AHL team, but he hasn't been able to do that lately. He's a big piece of this. I mean, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen, and if they need to turn to him, they're going to have to use him heavily. But again, the last couple games, no, he's not been very good. I think the other game, the last game he played was in Los Angeles on Thursday night. I gave up five goals. Could he have been better? Absolutely. But I think in the second period, if you would have seen the way the LA Kings were coming at him, it could have been 10 goals. I mean, the Kings were throwing everything they had at him, and Corpy was making some pretty good saves. So I think if he could look at some of the film, there were some goals he'd love to get back, but there were some real beauty saves in there for him. So it wasn't as bad as it looked, although it definitely could have been better for him.
Well, Corposalo, not perhaps the only thing that would be different if you watch the Columbus Blue Jackets all the time. Head coach John Tortorella spoke to the media yesterday regarding some possible other lineup changes.
You got to be really careful about the must win and do or die and all those lines. We still have a number of hockey games to be played, and it's so close. We just got to take it one game at a time, and I think the biggest difference this time of year is, from a coach's point of view, at least from my point of view, is I'm going to go with the guys that I think is going to give us a chance to win that game. It's not about developing. It's not about trying to help a guy along and see if his game gets going. I need whoever's game is going, they're going to play. And I think that's the change you make here, but still taking it one game at a time.
That was head coach John Tortorella yesterday. And you're around Torts all the time, George. And does he seem like the kind of guy that is he up front with the players when he's going to make a move, or is it kind of the thing that he tends to do in-game?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff he does is in-game. But I think that, you know, guys can feel what they're going to do based on what they do in practice and that kind of thing. And what he was talking about there was, you know, giving some of the younger guys more playing time. And even though you look at the roster and say, okay, you want these experienced guys in these hard, heavy-hitting games that have maybe a playoff feel to them, you would assume that you'd go with some of your more experienced guys. And what he's saying is, look at the statistics. The young guys are the ones that are leading the way for us. They're the ones that are going to get the playing time. Guys that haven't been producing, some veteran guys with some experience, maybe like a Brandon Dubinsky now centering the fourth line, even though he, you know, that line played a lot the other night in San Jose. You know, he's going to be given more leeway toward the young guys that have never been in this position for the most part. They're going to get the opportunity to play, and I think he's, you know, what he was talking also, you know, throughout this season, he's like, let's just be patient. Some of these guys that we're counting on haven't really produced, and you look at it, there's a whole list of guys within the Columbus Blue Jackets who are veteran guys making big money who haven't produced this season. And now he's basically saying, okay, time's up. Now it's time to get guys who are producing. And if the other guys start producing from here on out, terrific. Don't worry about your season stats, because they're going to look terrible regardless. But look at what you can do these final 16, 17 games out. If you can get your season turned around, terrific. But what we need is to save our season, not your statistics for the season.
Well, you know, they certainly added a couple pieces at the trade deadline, and I want to talk about them in just a minute here. But one of the new players that they did add to the roster at the start of the season, who I would imagine that the Blue Jackets and John Tortorella are happy with, is Artemi Panarin, the way that he's fit in. Some people thought he might struggle without Patrick Kane, but leading the team with 55 points and 20 goals, 35 assists. What has the Breadman meant to this team and the reason why they have had some of the success that they have had this year?
Well, I'm sure Patrick Kane would love to have him back in Chicago. There's no doubt about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
This guy, everybody that plays with him has improved their stock with the Columbus Blue Jackets. You look early on, it was Josh Anderson. He's second on the team now in goals. He was leading the team almost all season in goals. You've got Cam Atkinson, one of those guys that his stats aren't going to look very good at the end of the year, but he's been heating up lately. Guess who's playing with? He's playing with Panarin and taking terrific feeds from him and cashing in, and so is the rookie center Pierre-Luc Dubois, who was playing above his age. He's a 19-year-old kid. He's playing like he's been in the league for 10 years. Panarin has been a terrific addition to this team. This is something that the Columbus Blue Jackets has been missing—a guy that can turn the game around with one shot. Panarin has that. He's got that kind of. He's that kind of a good player. He facilitates, but he also can bring it himself. Score on his own, create his own room, do all kinds of different things for him. So, yeah, John Tortorella was not talking about Artemi Panarin when he was talking about guys not getting playing time.
All right, how about some of the new additions that they did get here? How are these guys going to fit in? Do you think they will fit in and help Columbus as they try to get one of those wild card playoff spots or get into the playoff? We have Ian Cole, Mark Letestu, who is no stranger there, and Thomas Vanek as well, all added to the Blue Jackets roster here as teams are getting ready to make that stretch run.
Yeah, I think if you look back a week ago, we were at the trade deadline, and then the Blue Jackets made some nice moves, I thought, because it didn't really cost them anything. It didn't cost them any roster players. The only player who left was Jussi Jokinen, who had been waived, and he was traded to Vancouver in the Vanek deal. I said it, the Blue Jackets improved their standing with three players they picked up. I still think that. I think that they improved their defense with Ian Cole and not trading Jack Johnson. So you add Jack Johnson, basically, and you add Ian Cole to that, a guy who's won the Cup the last 2 years with Pittsburgh. Mark Letestu, he centers your fourth line, solidifies that. That's something that John Tortorella has struggled with all year, is putting faith in that fourth line. Now he's got that a little bit more. Now that that's been fixed, it appears. And we all know what Thomas Vanek can do, and that's score goals and put the puck in the back of the net. He's very good with the puck. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's got a little bit of size to him. He hasn't scored a goal yet in his three games. He met the team in Los Angeles. His first game with the Blue Jackets was Thursday. I think Thomas Vanek's going to get going here in a little bit. I think he had some opportunities in the last two games in California and Anaheim and San Jose. And he's obviously the biggest name of them. I mean, because Thomas Vanek and look at his statistics. He's played almost 1,000 games in this league and got a ton of goals, ton of points. And that's something that the Blue Jackets need is scoring. They haven't been a team that struggled. They've put all their eggs basically in Bobrovsky's basket because he's the guy that's been carrying them. They need some goals, and they're going to need some goals tonight, I assume, going against this Vegas team with their backup goalie in that. So I think it'll be interesting to see moving forward how Vanek fits into all that.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, on with George Richards, beat writer for the Blue Jackets from the Columbus Dispatch. And George, as we had talked about earlier, you came over from Miami. You had covered the Florida Panthers. The Blue Jackets and the Panthers locked in a battle for the wild card right now. When you look and handicap both teams, what do you like about Columbus's chances and what do you like about Florida's chances?
We'll start with Columbus. As I've said all year, I think this is the Columbus team that if they make the playoffs, I think they're going to be a pretty tough team just the way they're built. I mean, from the goalie on out, very strong defensively. They're going to get the goals that count, I think, when the going gets going. You don't see many 5-2 games in the postseason. You're going to see a lot of close games, a lot of physical games. I think Columbus can play that style. That said, I think Florida can as well. think Florida's got a healthy Roberto Luongo with James Reimer backing him up when he needs to go in. Florida's set in goal. Florida's got a different kind of defense than the Blue Jackets do. They're more of a puck-moving defense. They can do a lot of damage. They've got terrific forwards. I think looking at Dale Talon-built team, he built it around the centers. They've got Sasha Barkov leading that, one of the top young players in the league for the Panthers. I don't think a lot of people know about him, but Gerard Gallant certainly does. That was one of his favorite players. And the list goes, I mean, the talent that the Florida Panthers have, I think everybody thinks that this is a surprise. They should have been a playoff team last year, and they all kind of revolted last year when Kirk got fired, and they just kind of, you know, limped into the offseason. Not agreeing with a lot of the stuff that happened there in Florida, and that's been well documented. So the Panthers got off to a real rough start. They swept their last home stand. They look really good. They've got three games in hand on everybody. It would be really disappointing in Florida right now if this team didn't make the playoffs, just because they've come so far so quick. That said, it'd be very disappointing in Columbus. You know, you look at this team that set franchise records and points and wins and all that last year, for them not to make the playoffs, you know, would not sit well here in Columbus. And I think that maybe both teams are looking at New Jersey and the schedule that they have to play. Columbus is 3 points behind New Jersey for the first wild card. Florida's 4 points back of Jersey with that three games in the pocket. I wouldn't be surprised if both Florida and Columbus make it. Maybe New Jersey would be the odd team out.
Yeah, and of course, the Florida Panthers, like you mentioned, 8-2 in their last 10, winners of 6 in a row, so they're really hot. They look like they're in a good position.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the three games in hand there as well, so New Jersey does maybe look like the team that they could pass up. And real quick, I want to throw something else out there to you, because you do know the Florida Panthers, and you're from that area, and you were down there a while. What do you make of what they're doing right now with the Douglas High School team that just won the championship after that horrific tragedy that happened there with the 17 people that were assassinated by the gunman down there? They win the state championship, and now the Florida Panthers have agreed to let them use their jet to fly up to the national championships in Minnesota. And it seems like everybody's really rallied around this community in Parkland and everything. And it's just one of those kind of things, another thing that the NHL does, where they go so much beyond sports in their community. It seems like all these teams mean so much more to the cities that they're in.
Yeah, I mean, we've both been touched by tragedy in this senseless way. And I think what the Panthers and the NHL has done has just been unbelievable. I think that team was out on the West Coast when that all happened, and a lot of those guys live right there in Parkland or in Coral Springs. Their training facility is just an exit away on the Sargasso Expressway, so it's right there. Parkland is, you know, the Panthers were of the sports teams in South Florida. The Florida Panthers were most closely associated with Parkland and with Stoneman Douglas High School. And, you know, I think what they've been able to do, the first game, their first home game back, you know, they had a big thing at the arena. They gave the arena to CNN for the town hall with all the parents and all that, that a lot of people saw. You know, yesterday, Sunday, they played the Philadelphia Flyers game. Dr. Spear, the defenseman for the Flyers, actually went to Douglas High School for his first 2 years. And he invited the hockey team to the game to enjoy the day and visit with them. And then yesterday they practiced at the arena, the BB&T Center in Sunrise, and Sean Thornton, former Florida Panther, arranged for the Stanley Cup to come as a surprise for the kids. And the kids were all allowed to skate around with the Stanley Cup and take pictures with it. And now they learn that they're going, they're flying on a team plane up to the National. So it's such a hard thing. I mean, I've been detached from it, being that I'm in Ohio right now, but I watch it every day, and it just breaks your heart. And it's just the worst thing. And I talked to my dad yesterday, and that's all anybody's talking about in South Florida. Still is the thing that happened, you know, what happened to Douglas. And I think the Panthers are just trying to do what they can to kind of help out and make people feel a little better about themselves. And them winning is just a nice little bonus. I mean, because now the Miami Heat, if you've caught on, I think everybody's seen the things that Dwayne Wade has done for the Douglas community. And they're winning as well, and I think people are all just kind of latching onto this and feeling a little bit better about things, as senseless as it was, as painful as it is. Sports can be a nice diversion and a little bit of reality, and they're making things a little bit better these days.
All right. Well, George, we thank you for taking the time out on your way to the arena to spend with us. Where can folks find your stuff?
Dispatch.com is the website of the Columbus Dispatch, and you can find me on Twitter at George Ritter.
All right, George, well, thanks for spending some time with us. I hope you don't hear the cannon too many times tonight.
Well, I've gotten used to it. So I don't even – yeah, that's still messes me up. I'm kidding.
All right. Thank you much.
It's loud.
George Richards from the Columbus Dispatch getting ready for tonight's game. 3:30 for the pregame show, 4 o'clock for puck drop. When we come back, Frank and I are going to look on the lighter side of hockey and a little smack talk from Team USA. That's on the other side of the break. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show and Frank. We heard Team USA making the rounds. Of course, the ladies won the gold medal. They're touring around, going on just about every show that there is. But I hear that one of them wants to throw down with one of the biggest musical acts in the world.
Yeah, goalie Maddie Rooney is apparently a big Justin Bieber fan. They were on Jimmy Fallon last night, and they all wore their jerseys. I'm a little jealous of Jimmy Fallon because they gave him a Team USA hockey jersey as well that he was wearing with Fallon on the back and number 18, I'm assuming for 2018. Mm. But Maddie Rooney, she lifted her shirt up because she had a Team Bieber shirt on underneath, and Jimmy Fallon asked her about Justin Bieber and what were her plans with him.
Huge fan. We love Justin Bieber. He's been on the show a bunch of times. And what? Why do you want? You want to tweet back, or what do you want to do with him?
I mean,
what's your business? What's your business with Justin Bieber?
I mean, yeah, I want him to notice me. That'd be awesome. But I mean, I want to go stop his shot too.
You want to? Really? Stop his shot?
In men's league.
You challenging him?
Yeah.
But does he play? Does he play? I didn't know he played hockey.
No, he plays hockey.
Of course, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You have to. You have to, but Justin, she's calling you out here. I mean, yeah.
And so, Maddie Rooney versus Justin Bieber. That's really easy route for me. I'm all about Maddie Rooney. I'm not on Team Bieber.
Well, I'm not on Team Bieber as well. And if she can shut down the Canadian women, I think she can shut down Justin Bieber because he's more of a lesser player than them.
Yeah.
Thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you? I saw Angel looking at me.
I really only have one Justin Bieber fan moment, and that was when he was playing in the celebrity game, not at this past All-Star game, but the year prior, and he got checked into the boards. I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not a Bieber, because I'm an adult, probably.
Didn't he win the MVP of the celebrity basketball game one year in the NBA All-Star?
I don't know.
I think he did just because the fans vote on it.
Yeah, my Bieber knowledge is minimal. I'm very proud of that.
My Bieber knowledge is that he egged the neighbor's house or something.
You know who knows everything there is to know about the Justin Bieber?
Tim Unglesby.
And that's
Tim Unglesby. Tim Unglesby, actually, yes.
And T.C. Martin. T.C. Martin, the doctor, he's next on a very special abbreviated version of Terrible Tuesday. Stick around. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is in the house.
Always looking for Bieber.